Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and today we have the good fortune of being joined by Chris Peters, who is joining us via Skype from Sochi, Russia, where Chris is broadcasting the World Under-18 Championships for Fast Hockey. Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Harry. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's about a little after 1 o'clock in the morning in Sochi, Russia. What are you still doing up at this time of day?
Well, this guy asked me to be on a podcast, so I figured I might as well drop by and come on. It's good. It's actually nice to be able to speak English with somebody again, so that's solid. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you being here, and it's been a long day for you. Today, for anybody who hasn't already seen the USAHockey.com or the press releases that are generated through our media department, today the United States kept its gold medal hopes alive with a shootout victory over Russia in the semifinals. So must have been a pretty exciting game, not only to watch, but also to broadcast.
Yeah, it really was, and I guess if anybody was listening, they know that the volume probably should be turned down on their computers, because it was one of those games where I think the emotions were just so high, and really Team USA had to dig deep, and they had a late goal with about two minutes and 5 seconds left in regulation to tie from Anthony Lewis, all 5'6", 140 pounds of him, somehow got a puck under the goalie, and then, you know, when you go to a shootout, you expect Russia, with all their skill and all their talent, to be able to, that's a benefit to them. They did not score in the shootout. Team USA got two goals of their own. Tyler Kelleher and JT Comfort scored, and it was Team USA's captain, JT Comfort, who won the game for them on a beautiful shot. So it was an insane atmosphere. The crowd was just loud and really behind Russia 100%. And it was one of the most fun hockey games I've ever had the opportunity to be a part of in some way.
For those of you out there may know, Chris is as a longtime USA Hockey person, as a Brian Fishman intern, worked at the National Team Development Program, and is now has a very successful hockey blog, the United States of Hockey. And we all love your blog, but I think you found your true calling in your play-by-play announcement. You do a great job.
Oh, thanks a lot, Harry. I appreciate that. It's honestly a great thing that I get to do every year, is come to this tournament. I've enjoyed it so much, and it's really energizing to be around the players, be around the team, and then be able to watch such great hockey. And it's hard to remember that these guys are only 16 and 17 years old. So I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun for me to be here.
This event is being dubbed as a test event for the upcoming Sochi Olympic Winter Games. Can you just talk a little bit about how maybe that changes the atmosphere or changes the preparation for not only for the team and the staff, but also maybe for yourself?
Yeah, you know, it's a very different environment here, though. The World Under-18s is usually, it's kind of a secondary tournament. It's not very popular in the world yet. It's been pretty incredible here, though. As far as the test event goes, tighter security. They're testing everything out, including their security for the Olympics. So it's tighter security. The operations of the facilities are different. You know, the crowds have been amazing. They've wanted to get as many people into the building as they can. So the crowds against Russia have both been amazing. And, you know, they have the full production, you know, in terms of the scoreboard and the raising of the flag and all the pomp and circumstance that you would expect from an Olympic game. They're doing for these under-18 games. So in that regard, it just kind of raises the level of the tournament. It's very professionally done, very entertaining to watch. And then, you know, as far as for me doing the broadcasting, it's, you know, you have to talk to about 17 different people before you can put your camera down. And, you know, it's just all these different things. And they're just, you know, uptight a little bit, just because of they want to have everything right. And honestly, the professionalism and the work that people have put in for this thing is really impressive.
So how about the town of Sochi and all of the preparations for the Olympics? Have you been able to walk around and check things out? And how would you describe the host city for the 2014 Olympics?
Yeah, well, Sochi is a really unique town because it's on the Black Sea, and then you've got mountains. You know, it's like Black Sea on your left, mountains on your right when you're looking around. And so that's really cool. The Olympic Park is still under construction. They're still working on the Olympic Village, and some of the venues are still being completed. The hockey venues are done. They are both gorgeous. One, Bolshoi Ice Dome is the main site where there's 12,000 seats, and then there's the Shaiba Arena, which is 7,000 seats. We've been in both. They're both world-class facilities. And then the city itself is just really unique. Right now, it's still they're still working so hard to get the Olympics done. You wonder how they're going to be able to do it. But as it happens every year, they find a way to get it done. Everybody's behind schedule every year. So there's been a lot of construction and stuff. But in terms of the city and the setting, this is, you know, it screams Olympics. It's going to be beautiful scenery. It's going to look great on the broadcasts. It's just all around a great place to be. And I've really enjoyed it here.
And can you talk a little bit about the under 18 tournament? You know, a lot of people may know about the World Juniors, which is growing in popularity in the United States every year, thanks in large part to continued television coverage. But what's the under 18 team like, or under 18 tournament like?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like I try to describe it as a miniature World Juniors. I think that's one of the better ways to do it. It follows the same format. It's 10 teams. It's four teams in each group. There's a new format now in the IIHF, which will go to the World Juniors, where all eight of the 10 teams in the tournament actually make it to the quarterfinals, and we got to experience that for the first time this year. So that was really interesting. But you know, Russia and you've got Russia, Finland, Sweden, all those countries are sending their very best players. You know, the United States has the National Team Development Program, which is most of this team is comprised from that, from the NTDP. So, you know, the team obviously plays 2 years together. This is their big tournament. For everybody else, they kind of come together and they're put together just for this tournament. And it's really interesting to watch because I think it plays out. The drama is high. Just like the World Juniors, the stakes are high, the pressure is high. You know, we might have smaller crowds, and actually, I mean, in Russia, this tournament, all of Russia's games have been televised on their national sports network. So it's growing in popularity. And also the other thing that I should mention is that most of these kids are in their year of draft eligibility, their first year of draft eligibility. So a lot of these guys are going to be picked in the NHL draft. So it's important to represent your country. It's important to represent yourself and try and improve your draft stock, and that's kind of what this tournament has become. It's a huge event for the federations, and then it's also a big event for the players themselves.
The United States has been enjoying quite a run over the last several years. They've won four gold medals and are going for a fifth. Do the players talk a lot about that stuff, or are the coaches doing a good job of keeping them focused on just the next game and the next opponent?
Yeah, they definitely talk about it. I think they're very aware of the previous four. And actually, when you first walk into Team USA's locker room, there are pictures of all the past champions. And they know the tradition that they're trying to uphold. And I don't think that it's put that way because of trying to put pressure on them or anything. It's just so that they're aware. These guys are always tweeting with the hashtag #DriveForFive. And, you know, and it's they have that pressure. But I think that the bigger pressure is the one that they put on themselves, that this is their gold medal. That, you know, only three guys on this team played on last year's team that won gold. So everybody else is trying to win their first gold medal. That is their goal. And so as big as the drive for five is, and as much as it means to them, it means that much more to try and win their own first gold medal and have their own picture on the wall.
Now, this is, like you said, this is the pinnacle for these kids. They play 2 years at the NTDP. They play against older players from not only junior leagues but also in some college teams. So they must be pretty battle tested by the time they step foot on the ice for this event.
Yeah, they are. I think you know, nobody prepares like them for the tournament. This is 2 years of building up. And you know, you think about all the college and the junior games that they play, but also the amount of time that they spend in the weight room, you know, up in the weight room. And then at the NTDP, there are a bunch of championship pictures in there, and that's what they're always working for. And, you know, it is a bit of an advantage that they are familiar with each other. They've spent all year together for them to play. But really, when it comes down to it, you still have to play the games. And when they, you know, rise to the occasion, that's when you see that 2 years of work all come together. Because there are a few teams that are able to dig deep like Team USA is, and we saw it today against Russia, where they were down late and they ended up getting the game tying goal. And you know, everybody contributes in their own way. So it's really interesting to watch the fact that these guys know each other so well, but they have to do different things to win every game, and they have to improve every game as the tournament goes on as well, which you'd think, you spend 2 years together, how are you going to do that? They find a way to do it, and it pays off in the end.
And so now we have one more game against a familiar foe. Talk a little bit about the Canadian team that will be facing the United States on Sunday.
Yeah, well, Sunday at noon, it's like the title bout, noon Eastern time. And I'll tell you what, this is the best Canadian team I've seen in the 5 years that I've been here. And I say that without any reservation. They have a young man by the name of Connor McDavid on their team who has 14 points. And he may have just turned 16 or just about to turn 16. He's a 1997 born, and he has already got 14 points in the tournament to lead the whole thing. So Team USA has actually got to find a way to shut down this 1997 born kid. They're all 1995 borns. Canada is a very talented team. There's a lot of guys that are probably going to go in the first round of the draft, this upcoming draft or next year's draft, on that roster. They have good goaltending. They've only allowed 4 goals the whole tournament so far. So that's pretty good. And, I think Team USA matches up well with them. They actually played Canada in an exhibition game before this and handled them pretty easily. The only difference is Canada has added about 5 players since then and has really come together, and they're a team that gets better as the tournament goes on. So they're going to give a tough game. Team USA is going to have their hands full with this Canadian team. Like I said, it's the best that I've seen in the 5 years I've been here. So I'm expecting nothing less than an absolute classic gold medal game here in Sochi.
Well, yeah, anytime the United States and Canada gets together, it could be for, a game of street hockey. You know, it's going to be quite a battle. Well, I got one more question for you, Chris, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you some of the sayings that you've been able to incorporate into your broadcast. I just was wondering where you come up with some of the things that you were able to weave into your great play-by-play.
Yeah, well, some of them come out of just spontaneity, but most of them actually come from my friends. I am put up, when they're watching, they want me to basically give them subtle shout-outs, and sometimes it comes in the form of interesting phrases or stuff that you maybe sounds out of place. But it's a lot of fun for me to try and weave them in there. And I like to try to have fun with the broadcast. I mean, I don't get to do this very often, so I want to have a good time. And yeah, I've had some, I think Sweet Sassy Molassy was one of the ones in there today. And that's something that I probably would have said anyway at some point. I don't know. I mean, I could have mixed that in, but yeah, I mean, I've really had a lot of fun. I get emails pretty much daily saying, hey, say this today or say that today. And you know, if it's not too crazy, then I'll probably say it. So it's been a lot of fun, and you know, I try not to take myself too seriously, and so it's fun for me to do that for my friends and let them know that I'm thinking about them.
Well, you're doing a great job of doing these broadcasts. So if somebody wants to tune in on Sunday, you said high noon Eastern time. What's the best way that they can not only follow Team USA but also listen to your colorful broadcasts?
Well, you can head over to fasthockey.com. Make sure you get up, sign up for your own account, and we will be live starting probably around 11:45 with a little pregame show. We're going to do it upright for the gold medal game, and we'll have a lot of talk and about the game and analysis. And I'm lucky to be embedded with the staff here, so I can easily talk to Don Granato. I get a lot of good stuff from him, so. I hope that everybody tunes in on Fast Hockey noon on Sunday, USA Canada. It is going to be a barn burner.
Well, Chris, one of the last things that you said before you signed off the air today was that you wanted to go and take a nap after that heart pounding game. So I'm going to let you go, and hopefully you can go get some sleep, some well deserved rest, and thank you very much for taking the time to join us from so far away and at such an ungodly hour.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I will go take a nap now.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and tune in next time for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.